It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And though you may think that our climate is topsy-turvy, it's actually the weather that's topsy-turvy. The climate is the sum total of all of the daily weather that we get. This is a bit of a setback, I guess. Plants seem to adjust pretty well. I have a mountain ash on my property, wild grown, not a planted thing. I mean, I'm sure that a bird came by and probably ate one of the berries somewhere else and landed on a bush and went to the bathroom. And the next thing you know, I've got mountain ash growing on the edge of my property. This mountain ash had begun to break leaf bud last week. In fact, I may have mentioned it on the show last week that the mountain ash was breaking leaf bud. Well, I went and checked it this week, and those buds froze, and they were burned and crispy looking. But the mountain ash, like so many plants that are familiar with the kinds of flip-flopping weather we can get here in northern Minnesota, had held in reserve some other buds, and those buds were beginning to come out. Now, with last night's temperature in the mid-20s and tonight's temperature forecast for the mid-20s again, those buds may get burned again. But the mountain ash has still got more buds ready. It's one of those games that they learn to play, that they don't put all their cards on the table at once. So even though the weather's been a little quirky, the trees and plants and flowers will handle it in stride because they have done it before. I would say relative to that snow that we got last week, which came on Tuesday, we had some pretty cool weather. I ended up with about 4 inches on the ground at one point, and my neighbor Marvin Beer said that he had shoveled his deck in the morning, 4 inches of snow, and by the end of the day, he went back out and shoveled another 2 inches. So he had thought that in the total, there was about 6 inches of snow that fell last week. I had 0.59, so just under 0.6 of an inch of moisture in that snow, and that was the snow and whatever rain fell with it. So it came out to about 1 to 10, which is oftentimes the ratio that you'll hear Tornado Bob talk about when we talk about rain to snow ratios. 1 to 10 is a pretty wet snow. That stuff was very wet. I just pushed it around a little bit. I didn't shovel very much. I shoveled my sidewalk, and I shoveled my deck a little bit, but the rest of it I just let melt, and it has. And one of the things that I noticed is that where I had shoveled the sidewalk, there was a large pile of flowers from the silver maple that overhangs my deck. And that brings to mind some of the things that are happening with plants right now. And that is the silver maple. If you have a silver maple in your yard, you probably have a yard full of these little red flowers, which are the male flowers, which have fallen off the silver maples. The red maples have not yet begun to drop their male flowers. Those flowers are probably at their peak right now. At least in the Grand Rapids area, I have a couple of red maples that I check regularly, and this past week they were at their peak of flowering. So it'll be another week or so before those flowers start to fall off. In the meantime, the silver maple, pardon me, which has already dropped its male flowers, anyway, the silver maple has already dropped its male flowers, and it is beginning to start to break leaf bud. So if you're looking at a silver maple, check it out. There's probably some leaf buds that are breaking open on the silver maples in your yard. The red maples, not yet, Their phenology is about a week behind the silver maple. And of course, if you have sugar maple in your yard, they're probably not doing anything that you can see at this point. Their phenology is even further behind. The other maple that I watch regularly is the box elder, which is also called the ash-leaved maple. And the box elder has flowers. At my house, the flowers are open, and I can see the tendrils that are going to support the stamens. So this flower gets pretty elaborate, and the stamens, which are the pollen-producing parts of the flower, are going to hang down quite remotely from the flower, sometimes an inch and a half, sometimes 2 inches before they're done stretching out. But check those out. Mine are, at this point, are still just beginning to stretch out. They're about a half, maybe 3/4 of an inch long, but they'll continue to stretch before they go from red to bright yellow. And the yellow, of course, will be when the pollen is ripe and ready to go. Of the aspens, the trembling aspen in my yard has already lost its male flowers, and just about everywhere you look now, the ground is littered with these long, 2, 3, 4 inch long male catkins, which are quite gray, and they have a bright bronzy looking scale, leaf scale at one end. And when I go out with kids, they always say, look at these caterpillars. Well, they're not caterpillars, but they certainly do look like a furry grayish-white caterpillar. Those are the male flowers. The female flowers on the aspens are about an inch and a half long, and if you could get a hold of one, and I did yesterday, there are still a few little magenta flowers in there that have not yet opened or been pollinated, but the majority of the flowers on the female catkin have been pollinated and are turning green. So if you are looking at aspens today, take your binoculars out, or if they just have this kind of a green look to the catkins that are hanging on them, it's probably a female aspen. And if you go back and look at it in the next couple of weeks, you will see that those catkins are going to, those little pods are going to pop open and cotton is going to come out, and those will be the seeds. And they are a little bit hard to find because there are over 3 million of them to a pound. So they're not a very big seed. And that's not really the way that aspens reproduce. They set out these seeds, and some of them probably land somewhere and begin to grow new aspens. But most aspens start out from a single tree, and as that tree grows out, it begins to set up suckers or other clones of itself. And the clonal nature of aspens make them interesting to watch. In the next couple of weeks, those aspens are going to leaf out, and as they leaf out, they're going to leaf out in clumps. So if you have an area where you get an overview or an overlook of an opening that leads to a hillside that may have aspens on it, you'll see these clumps of green start to appear on the hillside. And those clumps of green are single organisms. There might be 30 or 50 or 100 trees in that group, but they are a single organism. So watch that. Watch that sort of development on the aspens. They're really starting their act now and are going to be pretty spectacular. Their cousin, the big tooth aspen, the male flowers on the big tooth aspen are just starting to stretch out, and they are typically, the big tooth aspen is about 3 weeks behind the quaking aspen in terms of its phenology. The other aspen that you might want to be watching, other populous, would be the deltoides, the eastern cottonwood, which in this area is probably growing along a river, or someone has planted one in their yard. And if that's the case, you're going to see these very stout, reddish-looking catkins that are not yet open. And these are the male flowers, and they're not yet pollinating, and so they're going to look pretty red for a while. Among other things that I've been watching this week, the weeping willows and the here along the river, I don't know if it's the peach-leaved willow or the crack willow, but whichever one, it is starting to show a little bit of green as the leaf buds begin to break on those willows. Hazelbrush, both American and beaked, are starting to break bud. The lilacs at my house are about 70% bud break. And you may recall a couple weeks ago when I was on with Katie Carter, we were talking about the lilacs and how the National Phenology Network measures bud break on lilacs. Normally, bud break is just when you can see a little bit of green sticking out from the bud scales. But on the lilacs, in order to be consistent, and because the bud itself on the lilac gets pretty green and can stay that way for, it seems like, weeks before it really begins to open, what they look for on the lilac is when the emerging leaf, when the widest part of the emerging leaf clears the bud scale, then they say, this is National Phenology Network's protocol, at that point, they say that that is bud burst. And so in my lilacs now, about 70% of my buds are at that fat leaf stage where the fattest part of the emerging leaf is past the bud scale. So lilacs, bud burst. Oaks, not yet. Both the bur oak and the red oak in my yard are the buds are swelling and they look like they're going to break open pretty soon, but nothing's happening yet. Birch buds are breaking. My bloodroot, I have two patches of bloodroot. Well, actually, I have several patches. The ants keep moving them around, but I have one that's out in the open, and that one is in full bloom right now. And back in the woods where they're a little bit shaded, they are just approaching their first blooms. Hepatica, my hepaticas are just budded, but I heard reports this past week of hepaticas being in bloom. Leatherwood, a note from my good friend Dallas Hudson, who says that the leatherwood are starting to break bud, flower bud on the leatherwood, and they are still a little bit early. And the other one is, let's see, I want to get these notes up so I can be accurate here. Dallas has been keeping track of phenology just the way I have for many, many years. And let's see, he says leatherwood, on the 10th of April, it was open, and the average is the 20th today. Mosquitoes, first mosquitoes on the 2nd of April, the average is the 21st. Northern sweet coltsfoot, he saw his first ones open on the 12th, and on the average is the 22nd. He saw a yellow-bellied sapsucker on the 16th, the average is the 19th. Hermit thrush on the 18th, the average is the 21st, and a gray comma butterfly on the 17th, and the average is the 23rd. Now, those are all a little bit early, but on the other side of the equation, bluebirds. His average sighting for bluebirds is the 3rd of April, and he has not seen one yet. Buffleheads, the average is the 14th of April, no buffleheads as yet. Greenwing teal, the 16th of April, no, not seen yet, and blueing teal, the 18th, and that has not been seen yet. Cowslips on the 18th, and he said, unless I have them today. Heard the common snipe winnowing the 18th. I haven't heard that yet, neither has he. And garter snakes on the 19th. And none of those have we seen yet. So some things early, some things late now because of this cold weather that we've been having. From the kids down in Baxter, they had cowslips on the 18th. Now Baxter is down in the Brainerd area, so if you're out walking around in the Brainerd area and you're near some water, look for those bright yellow cowslip flowers. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers, they saw their first ones on the 19th. I saw a flock of robins last Saturday, and that's the first flock of robins that I've seen. And so I know that the migration is really getting going on the robins. And yesterday, visiting some friends, I saw a beautiful yellow-rumped warbler, first one of the spring. And Eastern Meadowlark was also reported by the kids down in Baxter. So there are some things happening. The spring is coming in spite of this cool weather. Don't lose hope. And speaking of hope, this is our spring. I almost said fall. Spring membership.
Well, I was glad it was fall that was coming out of your mouth when you started that sound. It is the hopeful spring membership drive, and we're looking for your help, your pledge of support right now. It's really important to keep it going. We're small and we're independent, and we bring you programming like what John Latimer was just talking about. I think I've told you before, but one of my favorite things that I hear from you is when you talk about your neighbor, Marvin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It just makes me feel good.
Marv's a great guy.
Yeah.
We always have gotten to know Marvin. Have some fun. Yeah. Marvin came over the other day and helped me pump my brakes. Unfortunately, the brake line that I repaired added pressure to the rest of the system, and another brake line blew.
Oh,
so,
boy.
When your truck is 25 years old, things happen.
That's right. We need your support right now. Think of a truck that's 25 years old. You got to put a little bit of money towards it.
You got to keep the upkeep on it or it won't run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Become a member right now. 800-662-5799.
This is Ruth,
Axel,
and Pearl Newstalk. I like being a member of KAXE because I enjoy the phonology reports and telling what we see each week in nature. Another show I like is Green Cheese because it is fun calling in to answer questions and learn new things.
That is Pearl, along with her big sister Ruth and her big brother Axel. They are members of KEXE, KBXE, when they come up to their cabin near Marcel, and then they listen when they are home in Memphis, Tennessee. These kids know the importance of connection to voices, to fun things like green cheese trivia and learning about nature. Support KEXE, KBXE now. Become a member like Pearl. Go to KEXE.org.